Good evening. We're here tonight to talk with Scott Huggins a little bit in preparation for the talks that he'll give tonight, the readings that he'll work with. He was born in California, raised in Kansas, which may explain not only his profound personality conflicts, but his tendency to punch people who make Wizard of Oz references around him. He received his BA from Kansas State University and his MA from Michigan State University and is currently doing bookselling and cat maintenance when he's not writing. Good evening, Scott.
Good evening.
We're glad to have you here. Looking forward to hearing your readings.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
How did you end up coming from Kansas to Michigan for school?
I sent out a number of applications to a number of graduate programs, and the other graduate program said, get lost, and Michigan State said, if you come here, we will give you money. And that was an easy choice.
Yeah, that does make a very easy choice. And you majored in creative writing, was it?
Yes, that's script.
And what kinds of things did you do in terms of getting your master's? I found that fascinating to actually read your thesis.
Well, back when I was joining the master's program, it was an English master's with a creative writing emphasis, and that also gave the option to do a thesis, creative thesis. And I've been doing poetry during my undergraduate years, as well as the science fiction. So my advisor, Anita Skeen, and myself decided that my thesis should encompass both of those.
And since you've graduated, you've done some writing. How do you go about finding story ideas in writing, and where have you gotten some of your material published?
Well, let's see. To answer the second part of the question first, my first sale was to the L. Ron Hubbard anthology. L. Ron Hubbard, separate from his Scientology practices, left a trust for new science fiction writers to encourage them, and so every year there is a contest, and I won second place in one of the quarters of that contest, which gave me a story published in their annual anthology. It's Writers of the Future Volume 15, and at the time we're recording this, you can still order it. Let's see. My second sale was to Amazing Stories, which sadly folded right after publishing my story. I hope I didn't contribute to that event. And other sales, which have not come out yet, is one's to an Australian magazine called Andromeda Spaceways, and the other is to Karen Joy Fowler's annual Moda anthology, the theme of which is courage. Those will be out later in fall 2003.
And Moda is an acronym for something?
Moda is not an acronym for something. It is a word whose definition you will find on the on Karen Joy Fowler's Triple Tree Publishing website, and the one I cannot give a coherent definition of now, I'm afraid.
So how do you find story ideas?
How do I find story ideas? That's an interesting question, and I think every author has a slightly different answer, but I think I would have to answer it with a question, which is, how do you not find story ideas? They come to me everywhere. The second story I ever published was in reaction to an episode of a science fiction television series I'd been watching at the time, and I said, that's not the right way to write this episode. The episode should have ended a completely different way. So I rewrote it with different characters and made it end the correct way. On the other hand, the first story I ever published, I got the idea from a piece of artwork. And then, let's see, the third and fourth, I really can't remember, but I've had ideas for everything, from everything, I should say. The essence of science fiction is what if, and the most basic of which, for example, things like what if Hitler won the war, which has been done to death, what if humans were kept as zoo animals, what if any number of things, but that's my best answer is what if.
I think that's a great answer, because that's very true. They can be everywhere and anywhere that you might want to look for them. You talk about a hobby of cat maintenance. Are these cats you own, or are they?
It's a cat I own.
Okay.
And yes, it takes up a lot more time than I might have thought at the beginning.
Yeah, they do. And so do you do book selling for a hobby, or is that
No, book an selling occupation? Is my day job that I have not yet been able to give up, sadly. But it at least keeps me around the books.
So you work in a bookstore?
Barnes and Noble, actually.
Yes. Which one?
The one right across the street from the campus.
Yes. That may be why you look familiar to me, because I am often over there buying books.
Yes.
Do you have anything that you would like to say to aspiring writers, be they science fiction or anything else in general?
Well, being mostly aspiring myself, I'm not sure. Here's what separates the writers from the wannabe writers. The writers write. I know it's basic, and you know you will hear this advice often if you are an aspiring writer, and it is the one piece of advice that really is invaluable. You do not necessarily have to write for a fixed time every single day, but you must write. And I've seen a lot of people who go around saying, I want to be a writer, and then you find out that their output is something like half of a short story in a year. Half of a short story in a year is too little. I don't really know. There's really no such thing as too much. And I'm not sure what the minimum level is, but that is far below it.
Yes, I would think so. It's like trying to write your comprehensive questions in your dissertation. You have to write a little bit pretty consistently or it never gets done. Is there anything else that you would like to tell us about yourself or the readings that you're going to do tonight before we sign off to go get the readings?
Well, let's see. I guess the one other piece of advice I would give to writers, which may tie in to some of the readers, is to the readings, is for heaven's sake, don't only write, but read. The canons of Western literature you may hear from professors is dead, and that you should go off and read whatever you like, and it's not important to read Shakespeare, it's not important to read Hawthorne, it's not important to read the Bible. This is wrong. It is very important to read all those three and many more, because this is what your readers, especially if you hope to reach any generation beyond your own, this is what your readers will be familiar with. The mythos of Western culture is a continuous one. It is, in fact, unavoidable, and you should know about it. One of the pieces I'll be reading tonight, Rappaccini's Granddaughter, it does not depend on a knowledge of Rappaccini's daughter, Hawthorne's short story, which is one of the first pieces of, in my opinion, American science fiction that was ever penned, but it certainly would help. And Rappaccini, and of course Rappaccini's daughter itself, depends on a wide array of previous literatures that Hawthorne was familiar with. So you certainly cannot begin to write until you have also begun to read.
I think that's really great advice. Thank you. Looking forward to hearing your readings later on tonight.
Well, thank you.